Thank you all so much for joining the call. My name is Michelle Armstrong, and I am here to talk to you about demystifying Facebook. Probably should have used a better word because I can't pronounce it very well. So we're going to talk about the 7 musts to unlocking the power of social media. And so I'm really excited to have you on the call and excited to do this. And I'm definitely going to honor your time, so I want to go ahead and dive right in. Just a little quick introduction. I've been coaching for well over a decade. I'm BCC certified life, wellness, and business coaching. I have a master's in e-commerce, which is like a master's in, like an MBA for the internet. And then I also have a master's in online teaching and learning. I've also taken quite a few courses that are specifically focused on Facebook that have nothing to do with traditional education. So needless to say, I love the internet and I love Facebook. I also teach the Intro to Wellness and Workplace Wellness Coach courses here at ILCT, and I'm also the creator of the Wellness Coach Toolbox. So if any of you wellness coaches are on the call, you want to make sure to check that out. Okay, so and then my most important and treasured title is mom, and I have 2 amazing kids that are everything to me. So as you can imagine, I have a passion to do stuff online to be able to support my 2 kiddos here. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive in. So why Facebook and why social media? So a number of points here on the big picture of social media. Just like the internet, it's here to stay. No matter how much we kind of resist it and it's all over the place, the reality is that it's here and it's, you know, expanding more and more across the globe. And so it is definitely something you're going to have to, if you want to survive in the business world, have to kind of embrace and change the mindset on that. And on top of that, it's mostly free. You know, there's some expenses depending on what you do, but generally speaking, at least to get online and to set things up, you're not looking at really any expense, which is awesome. I mean, you can't go and put up a billboard anywhere without, you know, having a huge expense. So the fact that it's generally free, you know, is a big plus for, you know, for businesses who are especially wanting to just start out in social media or are just kind of have a presence but don't know what to do with it. The fact that you can do quite a bit that's free or almost free is a big plus. And then most of all, it is it really is about relationships. And this is the key point that I really want to make through this whole presentation is about the whole relationship aspect. Okay, so obviously with social media being mostly free, then at least at face value, it can seem to be part of almost irrelevant whether or not you're on social media, because if everybody's doing it, then it kind of seems like you're just being, you know, one of a massive herd of people. And so I hope to change that perspective for you a little bit and to give you some more insight onto that. So the real thing is that if you are not part of social media, it's bad business thinking. And so hopefully we'll be able to illuminate some things for you and some give you some strategies to be able to implement some social media and specifically related to Facebook, some things you can do as well as, you know, answer some of your questions. So if you remember the TV show Cheers, and I know I'm probably dating myself here on this one, you know, where everybody knows your name. That was their song. That was sort of their motto. That was a feeling that, you know, kind of people got with the whole show. It was always the big thing is a place where everybody knows your name. And social media and Facebook in particular has sort of become this digital Cheers. Okay, so obviously not everybody has to know your name, but Facebook provides you a digital place to invite people to hang out and get to know you and get to know your business. So Cheers was a successful sitcom because as the viewer, we got to sit in our living rooms and feel like we were sharing a drink with the regulars. We knew their life stories. You know, we laughed at their jokes and their humor and their interactions with each other. And so we kind of felt like we were a regular, that we were connected to them because we knew about them. And that's what Facebook does for your business. So hopefully you can kind of make that analogy, that connection there, that, you know, you're going to kind of create your own Cheers, if you will, through through Facebook. Obviously, we're not going to be offering alcoholic beverages, but nonetheless, you can certainly create that a similar environment where people get to know each other and connect and start to share their lives in your Facebook page and in groups. Okay, so three words that I really want you to focus on throughout this call is connected, relationships, and value. So again, connected, relationships, and value. So if nothing else, if you can just sort of put a big circle around those three words, that's the big message, and I'm just going to kind of dig deeper into those areas, but that's really the core that I'm hoping you'll take away from this call. Okay, so I know many of you sent in some questions, and I'll do my best to answer those throughout the call. If you have any questions and you'd like to ask them offline, you can email me, and my email is michellethecoach@icloud.com. Again, michellethecoach@icloud.com. And that's Michelle with two L's. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started on demystifying Facebook with the seven musts that you need in order to succeed. So the first must is you must not get overwhelmed. So I know it's easier said than done, but the reality is that with things, most things can be broken down into manageable pieces to process and to be able to make progress in your business. And so Facebook is no different. If you look at the enormity of it, then yes, it can get extremely overwhelming. But if you look at it as one step, then the second step, and third step, you'll become more accustomed to it, and it doesn't become so overwhelming or so unfamiliar to you. So the first must is to not be overwhelmed. So when it comes to Facebook and your business, you need to be clear that there is a big, vast area of Facebook. And the real key is, where do you want to focus? Where will you serve best? So instead of looking at, the big, big, big giant picture, find your little square, find your niche and the community that you want to build and focus on that. So, for example, if you want to grow your client base quickly, understanding Facebook ads truly is the lifeline. If you want to build a community, then you're going to need to focus on groups. So that's it's really going to, this whole thing depends on what is it that you as a business owner want to focus on for your particular business, for your clients, the whole nine yards. Okay, whatever you do, you must provide your clients with the best value for the most precious thing, which is their time. So value is key. Whatever you do, and you have to think about every step that you take and every action that you take, whether it's on Facebook or any other social media platform, adding value is the absolute key. So if you're not adding value, then people won't pay attention to you. Okay, so ultimately you must decide your goal of using Facebook, not what other people say your goal should be, but really, what is it that you want to claim your space in Facebook? So what is it that you ultimately want to gain from it? And that's where you're going to have to get that clarity. Okay, so let me get on here into the second one. Sorry, my notes are a little all over the place. So the second must is having the mindset. So if you view Facebook as a community versus a trend, I don't even know what the numbers are, but there's, tons and tons of people who are on Facebook. And so how do you build the community versus looking at it as just a trend? The real issue is that you're going to be able to connect with certain people in certain ways, and other people won't be able to connect with the same people. So it's about being clear on who you are and finding those people that you're going to connect with. One of the things that I've noticed that really makes a big difference in the connection process is to enjoy the experience of it. If you go in into your Facebook and into your groups and onto your page, and you really try to have fun with it and try to really be a blessing to others rather than just one of the crowd, you will go a lot farther in growing your business through Facebook, whichever route you want to take within the context of Facebook or even in just social media in general. You really need to enjoy it. Have fun with it. Share things. Be part of it. People want to connect with you, not with just a digital presence, not just some arbitrary text on a screen. Okay, so if you go in and you have fun and you talk about things that go wrong as well as things that go right, life happenings, things like that. That's what's going to connect people. Okay. The other thing is in your mindset has to be focused on strategy and not on vanity. And by that I mean is that when we look at things from a vanity standpoint, then it's like, okay, well, how many likes do I have, or how many followers do I have, or how many times was this post shared, or things like that. The focus, if it just becomes about the numbers and how good am I, then you're losing the mindset that you need to have in order to grow your business. If you think of it strategically, and when I say strategically, I don't mean to take away from authenticity. Those have to be interwoven. But if you really think strategically, like what is it that I can do with who I am, not creating a facade, but when I am able to do the best that I can do in a strategic way that will reach my target audience and that will reach my community and that will add value to them, that's when you'll have that mind shift change, that mindset change, and that will allow you then to really grow your Facebook group and then ultimately grow your business through it. Okay, another must is developing a true strategy. And so, so much of what is done is essentially wasted. People get so consumed with perfection and kind of get overwhelmed. And so we kind of look at that 80-20 rule, and I hate to sound cliche, but it really is. You have to look at that key 20% of work that you can do on Facebook that will gain that 80% of results. And so with this, it really comes down to planning. And I know one of the questions that somebody had asked was about planning your posts. And so one of the things is to really sit down, and it's a lot of it takes some diligence and it takes some, self-discipline to really sit down and plan out if you want to do it quarterly, you want to do it every 6 months, whatever works for you, but truly plan out your posts, truly plan out your blogs. What is it that you want to say about a particular time in the year? Obviously when, Valentine's Day, for example, is coming up. So there's a lot of, love types of posts that come through. But how can you give it your own twist? How can you, really take that opportunity to impact your clients or impact your community with those types of posts and blogs and things like that. So in planning everything out, so plan out what is going on and, on a particular day. Find out what, what types of, if they're celebrating something kind of silly, or build that community through humor, build that community through value, build that community through, through stuff that goes on in your life. So as an example, and this is just, I'm making this up, and I'm sure this probably is, that there's probably a National Peanut Day, for example. And so I'm allergic to peanuts. So in doing some kind of a blog post related to, how everybody's celebrating peanuts, but here it is, I'm allergic to it, and adding some humor. So again, this is that connecting your to your audience and being authentic to who you are. So planning out your posts, planning out your blogs, Looking at the calendar, finding out what's going on, and then finding out what actually works for you, because inconsistency won't get you far. So whatever it is that you will work for you, then you need to plan that and be consistent. If you are working full time and you know trying to build your business outside of work, then you're not going to necessarily be able to do blog posts every day, or post a whole bunch every single day. You have to figure out what is going to give you the most bang for your time buck, if you will. So plan according to what kind of value you can add. Definitely throw in humor and authenticity, and also plan for what is it that you truly can do. And that will, as you get those wins of being consistent, then you'll be more consistent as time goes on because it becomes that habit. Okay, so the fourth must is focus on adding value to your tribe. And so what do we when we're talking about adding value, what does that really mean? So it's something that is going to truly help your clients or your potential clients or your tribe in general with their life, or something that is of interest to them. So obviously, depending on what type of coaching that you do. So if you do money coaching, then generally your tribe will be related to money issues and money concerns and things. So, we're coming up on tax season. So doing stuff related to taxes. So that's something that's really going to add value to your tribe if you have people who are really concerned about money and taxes and investments and things like that. If you're talking about wellness, then, here we're coming up on Valentine's Day, take care of your heart. And I think February is, heart health awareness month or something like that. So, looking at those types of things and how you can add value to your tribe and to those that you want to attract to your tribe. So when I talk about tribe, it's truly your group that is really connected to you. But you will always want to seek out more people to connect with and to, really build that community, because the more people that you have in the community, the more interactions that happen and the more that you're able to actually step back, but allow the interactions to take place with less work on your part. So building the tribe is a really important aspect of building, of adding that value, because the more people that come into the community that you're building, the more the information they bring, the more resources they bring, and the more value that they bring. So by adding value to your tribe, they in turn bring in the value that is unique to them into the community that they're part of. So that is a real strategy point, is the adding of the value. So what is something of value? And it really is not giving away the farm, but it's giving away something that traditionally people would pay for. So if there's some type of a resource, with the wellness coaching, if you came up with a recipe of, smoothies or juices, or maybe a 3-day detox diet or something like that, that people would pay money for normally, that you're able to give away to your tribe to build up your email list, that's what we're talking about, something of value. So just to say, hey, come join us, doesn't really mean a whole lot, because anybody can join a, hey, just join us, type of group. Okay, so speaking of group, I know there was a question about groups versus a business page. And the reality is you need both. You need a business page that is not your personal stuff, because you do need a personal account to set up a business page. But so your personal one is the one you share your kids' pictures and things like that. But the business one is related to what it is that you are actually doing from your business standpoint. So again, if you're like a money coach and you share articles, you share your blog posts, you share resources, those types of things all go on to your business Facebook page. Then you also have a group, and you can have it as an open group, as a closed group. private group, whatever. There's lots of different ways you can build the groups, and it depends. Sometimes people will have a closed group that you have to request to join, but you can, they'll basically let you join regardless of what's going on. And then there's private groups that are, if you offer a program, that you have only those people who are in that program that are communicating in that private group, and you add value, extra value through that. But that's a little bit deeper than I want to go on this call, so I'll just kind of leave it more simple. So you do need to have a business page so that when somebody looks up, Joe Smith's coaching, that Joe Smith comes up, linked to his website, information about his coaching on the actual Facebook page, articles and things that have been posted. So this is where they're going to look and see what type of activity have you been doing. Have you posted anything, in recent days? If you haven't posted anything since 2015, then people are going to walk away and just be like, okay, I don't know who this is, but this must not be the right person, because they are not even on here since 2015. So having that activity in building up, even if no one's liking your page yet or no one's liking the post yet, maintaining that activity is really important in gaining the reputation of being there, because it's documented by the date, okay? So definitely have your business page and be posting stuff. If you have nothing else, invite your friends and family to go in there and like it, at least at the starting point. Then create a group, and the group is going to have to be something that you have to build up a little bit before you actually open up a group, because you don't really want a group of two people. But once you grow your following on your page, then open up a group for a particular reason. So it may be to, let's say, for example, if you have a juicing group, if you're a wellness coach and you want to have a juicing group, or let's say an organic raw group, raw foods. That's the perfect one because it's broad enough. So if you have a raw foods group where people can share recipes of what they do with, how they combine their raw foods and all kinds of stuff, and how they eat raw foods in different occasions and things like that. So that's a really great group because it's specific enough to the raw food group, if you will, or raw eating, but it's also broad enough that people who maybe not necessarily want to go completely, eating raw, but want to learn more about incorporating more raw foods into their diet, that's a great place for them to go. So invite them. Constantly bring it up on your business page. Hey, I tried the recipe that, so-and-so posted in the group, for how to eat whatever particular dish it is. It was amazing. Put a picture of the dish and say, if you're interested in joining the group, here's the link to the group. They click on the link and they join the group, and now you've got another person in the group. So again, this is adding that value. It's showing your humanity, so showing that, you're human too, like you're actually in there looking at the recipes, you're trying them, and so people can connect with you. And if you can say, I don't like Brussels sprouts, so I opted to use, carrots or something. So you talk about how you adjusted the recipe and build that interaction going. Did anybody else try something different? And so, you're building the communication, you're building the contribution. And those are the things that really help to build the community, because then people start communicating with each other, they start sharing more, and then you start to really grow a vibrant group. And that's what you want to do, is show that you're human, show that you're really participating, and that adds that value that is not to sound like punished, but it's an organic type of a growth. And that's a really amazing thing when that happens, when people start sharing, because that's really how a group can really blossom, much more so than by other mechanisms. Okay, so another must is to build relationships in order to have a sustainable business. So relationships are built on trust and a feeling of being valued. So again, this goes back to, you know, if somebody posts a comment on your on a post that you have put on your page, go back in and thank them. And I maybe ask another question related to what they said. And so start interacting. And the more you interact, just like what we do when we're in person, if I'm interacting with you in person, then you get to know me, I get to know you. We feel that connection of like, hey, we're on the same page. And, you know, we both have kids the same age. And we, you know, we enjoy a lot of the same things. And so we start connecting, we start sharing things and bringing all those types of our kind of that whole life aspect into who we are. I'm not saying air all your dirty laundry on Facebook by any means, but if you can bring in all those positive aspects that and build those relationships and build that trust. Hey, I found this great recipe. I'm going to go find it. And then, you know, the next day that recipe's up on there, you're building trust. And then when somebody else does something like that, you really thank them and you tag them in your post to show your appreciation. Same thing. We're humans ultimately want to be valued and we want to, you know, feel like we're contributing. And so you're in a position to empower those in your tribe to, you know, feel valued and feel like they're contributing and acknowledging them. And so that relationship is absolutely key. One of the other things in the relationship aspect is to always, and I'm not saying like every day, but in some ways, always bring people back to your website where you can kind of show them a little bit more about who you are. And this is more true for people who are new to your group, something that you kind of always get them back to your website and hopefully get their email address because, you know, you never know if Facebook is down or something happens. You want to be able to have their email address to access them. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially, again, if you're giving them something of value in exchange for the email address, that you're giving them something. So that's starting to build that trust there. And so really it's that the relationship. And if you think about things that we like in our normal in-person interactions, it's the same thing online. It looks a little different. It works a little bit different. But at the core, it really is the same thing. We want to feel appreciated. You know, we want to go to a place where everybody knows our name. We want to know that we're supported and we're celebrated and that, you know, we're loved as human beings. Okay, so one of the things I know that somebody had asked about was about statistics on, you know, the different areas within Facebook. And what I will say about statistics that you'll find, you know, how many likes and shares and all those kinds of things, those are fine to a point. You know, obviously, if you're not connecting with anybody, then you have to look at what you're doing. But really, the key is that, are your efforts actually converting into, at some point, paying clients? And it depends, again, on your strategy and how you are going about doing this. So I don't want it to make it sound like, well, once they join your group, they should be, you know, paying you. But that whatever your strategy is, you have to look and see what the way you're doing things and how do the numbers and the stats from Facebook reflect what you're doing. And because if you're in a group and you're really interacting, that's not necessarily going to give you the stats that are truly reflective of what's going on. So the stats are important if you are doing truly just Facebook ads and you're really trying to look at the reach and the number of opt-ins and clicks and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, once you get your strategy clear, then it's about how many paying clients are you getting? Because if you have your numbers may be low as far as the stats go, but if you are getting, you know, customer after customer and people signing up for your coaching, then the stats don't really reflect that. So again, it depends on how you set up your strategy. Okay, another, the must number six, You must get over your fear of technology, okay? Believe me when I say this, you will not break Facebook, nor will you break the internet. And so most things can be undone. And so, you know, you don't have to be the technology guru, especially these days where things are much more drag and drop. They're much more intuitive. They make sense in how they're structured. And that's really why I think technology overall has taken off, is because the programmers and designers have figured out that just because they know how to code and they know how the ins and outs work, that it's not going to appeal to the masses. And so they've made things much more intuitive. And so if you look at it from the standpoint of what makes sense, if you look at everything on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever platform you're using, that it can get overwhelming. But if you look at it and say, okay, what makes sense? What would make sense here? That's probably the best question to ask yourself as you're looking at what you're doing, and then go from there to actually, you know, figure out what it is that you want to do. Okay. So there's, you know, reports on Facebook. There's things that you can set up, you know, posts that you can do ahead of time and things like that. But I want you to just really not be afraid of it and go in there and try. Go in there and mess up. I've messed up a number of times. I posted things that had major typos in them, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go back in and edit those. I mean, we do things like that. So don't stress about the technology. Don't stress about what you're posting. Just be consistent, and don't be afraid of the technology, because I assure you there's enough, safety nets built in that you will not be breaking anything with your lack of a technology savvy, okay? So one of the things I do want to touch on, and I've seen this a lot on Facebook posts, and I'm sure you've seen them as well, is where people talk, you'll see these things as like, oh, boost this post for $5 and reach X number of people. Boosting a post is not effective unless there's a call to action. Okay, so if you have a post that talks about somehow eventually getting a person's email address, that's really, I mean, what you need to do as far as outside of Facebook or outside of social media is to build your email list. So unless you've got a post that actually has that call to action somewhere within the post, boosting a post is ineffective. It'll just get you some more likes, and that doesn't do you any good. That doesn't generate some revenue. All it does is get you a few more likes. So I want to kind of caution you about that, to not just say, oh, well, let me boost my post and it's $5, and that's probably $5 that's wasted. You ultimately need to build your email list while growing your tribe in Facebook. Okay. The seventh must is finding joy in building the tribe and building the relationships and truly loving on your clients. When you build your tribe, you leverage the ease to cross the platforms. You build that opportunity to, take those same people and build your Instagram following, build your Twitter following, all those kinds of things. So really, I think the overarching thing is to have fun and to really have approach this with a joyful heart, in being able to embrace the whole thing of Facebook and the whole concept of social media as really that cheers type of place. And that will help you in, I guess, kind of like the lens that you look at these things through. If you look at it through that cheers analogy of, I want to build a place where people know the names, people know the stories. I'm part of a couple of Facebook groups that truly are like that, that people will reach out to one another, they'll check in on each other, they'll refer back to prior comments and prior conversations. That's incredible to see. And so I hope that you will keep that cheers mentality of building that place where people will feel comfortable to come in, people will feel comfortable to talk, people will feel comfortable that they're not just a name on a screen, that they are a person behind that, and that that people do care and that they do want to contribute to their life and their business and their whatever pursuits that they have, and that you're the one who's in control of that. You're the one who can create that situation, or you can create a situation that doesn't embrace that. So hopefully you do. And I want to kind of hit on one more sort of a bonus concept for you here within the within Facebook, within just your offerings in social media, because social media is the easiest place to advertise. And so what I want you to think about is what's called the value scale. And so when we have like what I call the freemium, so it's a premium content for free that people can, you know, give you their email address, and then they get this this premium, you know, ebook or checklist or something like that. But I want you to think beyond that and look at ways that you can actually grow your content and grow your the value that you're actually giving to your clients. And so this thing's called a value scale. It's not something I came up with, and I don't know who to give credit for, so it's somebody else but not me. But the real the basis of the value scale is that when you have something that's low value, low price, you can pretty much get quite a few people in there. And then the higher in value and the higher in investment that you go in, it's harder to get. Not that people won't spend it, but it takes more work to actually get to the higher ticket programs and things like that. So if you have a high ticket coaching program, that's going to take more time. Most people will not, you know, see you online for the first time and then, you know, drop $5,000 on a coaching program for you. Okay, that's just going to take time to build up to. But what you can do is create, I don't want to say low value, but lower value and lower priced products that are easy purchases that people can see, you know, who you are. They get to know you. They get to learn about your coaching, you know, and that way they can kind of build that trust with you. And then as time goes on and they start to see results in whatever it is that they want to do. So if somebody is, like I said, the money coach, and you provide them some type of value where they're able to knock out $1,000 in debt, you know, within a month or something like that, you've really given them a lot of value. So that's what they want to. That's how you're going to gain that that confidence with your clients, is by showing them something of value that is worth more than what they spent. So if they spent, let's say, you know, $100 with you, but they were able to pay off $1,000 or $1,500 in debt within a month or two, that was well worth it for them, because you know, got them strategies and things like that. So as you go up in the value scale, then you know, when they want to make those bigger investments, there's going to have to be a bigger return on investment. So just be aware of the value scale, and it's going to be different for each coach. It's going to be different for each area that you coach in. But think about what is it that you can offer on a lower end that will be able to be an easy connection with somebody, that you can build up that reputation and build up that trust and build that opportunity for people to connect with you and get to know you and understand you. And so with that, I will just, I guess it's sort of a great segue that I wanted to, just as a special offer here for today, if you would like to do a couple of social media strategy sessions, I'm offering two calls for $99 if you email me today and schedule a time sometime today. Not schedule the time today, but schedule today the time, you know, at your convenience, that I'm offering two calls for $99. And so we will evaluate your Facebook page, your website, go over your business goals, create some social media strategies, and, you know, kind of give you some support mechanisms to reach those goals and really get a game plan for implementing some simple but effective strategies to grow your business. So I'm just putting that out there. If you'd like to take advantage of it, my email address again is Michelle the Coach, MichelleTheCoach at iCloud.com. Again, Michelle the Coach at iCloud.com. So with that, Amy, if you want to go ahead and open up the call to questions.
Okay. I am using a different interface than I normally use, so I can't unmute everybody. I'm going to put it in Q&A mode, so if you have a question, just press star 6.
Okay, so if somebody has a question, you're going to have to unmute yourself. It's star 6. Anybody out there?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi there. I apologize for this. I had a session before, and I came onto the call a little bit late. I'm wondering if you can repeat the first two must-haves. And
okay,
you don't have to
sure
repeat
thing.
Them in detail, but just what they are.
Sure thing.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. So the first one is to not get overwhelmed and basically to approach it from a step-by-step process versus looking at the enormity of social media or the enormity of Facebook.
Great.
That's the short version of it.
Okay.
And then the second one is about the mindset, that really approaching it as a community and a way to, I use the analogy of Cheers, the TV show. And so if you approach the whole social media and Facebook as creating sort of your own version of Cheers, your own little digital Cheers, if you will, that mindset is vital versus, you know, not being very interested in it or resisting it. Instead, embrace it as an opportunity to create that environment where people can come and feel comfortable and communicate and hang out.
Great. Thank you. And one more thing just about your two sessions.
Yes.
Would those be relevant if one doesn't yet have a business Facebook page and even a website, or do you need to have those in order to be able to take advantage of what you're offering?
Oh, no, because then we can go over and get some real game plan on what you need to have and some real steps on what to do to get up on to get to where you need to be. So that's definitely, it's not that you don't have to have any of those in place. And we can do the first call where you set up and we kind of get a game plan going, sort of a check mark or checklist of what all that you would need. And then the second call can be as a check-in or, you know, once you've gotten things up and running, then come back and take a look and see what are some improvements to be made.
Great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for doing such a great job. I'm wondering
Thank
if you,
you
have experience using Facebook Live.
No, I haven't done that. And that's one of the things where when I see it, I kind of get frustrated by it. So I haven't really done a whole lot of checking into the Facebook Live. Some people find it effective. So I think as long as you're comfortable in front of the camera and are willing to, you know, kind of do things on the fly, then it'll work for you. But I haven't done a whole lot of looking into it because as a consumer, if you will, I personally don't care for it.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
My question is, when we have business and group Facebook accounts, and then we have our personal Facebook accounts, how do you limit your personal accounts with clients or strangers that may want to become your friends on your personal account?
I just don't add them as a friend. You mean as far as like somebody sending you a Facebook friend request, that's a client?
Right. For example, if your clients want to be your personal Facebook friends, how do you maintain good professional relationships even though you don't want to cross that line?
Oh, I just make it clear I don't. I do that with pretty much all of my my agreements. I don't do that. It's a hard line I draw. That I make really clear. I'm not. My personal Facebook page is for my friends, my personal friends. And I think people respect that. And I don't think it's any big deal. Another thing that people do, and this is something that may be a Band-Aid for you, is that you can have you can set up actually two personal Facebook pages. You can do one is truly your like one that you really keep for your friends and family. And then you can have one that is kind of like a bridgeway that is a personal account, but that is really, there's nothing in there personal per se that your clients can become your friend on that page. And that way you alleviate that rejection that they may experience or that they may perceive. And that way you still protect your privacy.
Thank you for your response.
Sure thing.
Hi, Michelle. My name's Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. I have a couple of questions and maybe just a couple top tips that you would have for two groups. First of all, the person that is an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the person who is 60 plus and is not a dinosaur in the computer world, but certainly doesn't have the facility of the younger generations.
Okay, so when you
based on what you've talked about today.
Okay, so the introvert, I think Facebook's fabulous because I am an introvert, big time, and that's probably one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to Facebook and social media, because I'm allowed to show me in a controlled manner. So I think it's probably one of the best places for introverts, quite frankly. Does that answer your question, or do you need me to dig more on that?
That's helpful. That's helpful.
Okay. And then for the 60 age group, I don't know that age really is an issue so much as your willingness to just dive in. I think it's much more of an attitude than an age, because I have, I know people who are, you know, in their late 50s and want nothing to do with Facebook when they're in business, but they want nothing to do with Facebook. And then I've got other ones that are, you know, in their late 60s and they're on there all the time. So it's not an age thing per se. It's really an attitude and a mindset and a excitement for what is possible. So if you're interested in connecting with people and you go in with an open heart to connect and a way to contribute, that's really what's going to get you farther. But if you go in with fear and trepidation, then you won't be able to really communicate and connect with people.
Well, and I think I'm headed more in the direction of, if you're not very facile with the social media world, are you saying that really you just kind of dive in and learn as you go?
Part of it is, because there's only so much that can be taught without doing. You're going to have to go in there and communicate and connect with people and start building relationships. So,
For example, I'd have no idea how to build a group on Facebook. I would have no idea how to set up a group or set up an ad. That's what I mean, the technical kind of stuff.
Okay, so that those are essentially, they're fairly easy to learn how to do. So that's something that we can go over on the calls, and I can walk you through those. So, that's easy to do, because those are just sort of step one, step two, step three type of things to do that can get you to where you want to go. But then once you set those up, it's kind of like building a house, like you can build the house, but you have to go in and furnish it and decorate it and all that kind of stuff. So it's easy to build the house in the digital world, but you're the one who's going to have to do the work of actually decorating it and furnishing it and making it a home.
No, got it. That's helpful. Thanks.
Sure thing. Do you have any other questions?
Hi, Michelle. This is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, and I actually asked the first question, so I hope I'm not stepping in front of anybody else.
No, go ahead.
Just following along the last caller, is there a place to learn all the basics? I mean, just really basic stuff about, you know, how best to build a business page, how best to, you know, what are the things to include, even, you know, just the simple kind of step-by-step process of how to do all these things that you've mentioned. Are there books? Can you Google it? What's the best way to really start to get facile with just even starting from a very basic place with social media?
Okay, so a couple things. There's quite a few Facebook groups that are really great support areas that you can learn so much from those groups where I mean, I'm constantly in them and I'm copying or screenshotting the responses because they're so good. And if you find a good community, they will pour out information left and right. But that being said, you still need to have the background knowledge because what they say won't make sense unless you understand the basics of what they're talking about. Now, yes, there are books. There's you know, resources. You can YouTube pretty much anything. I mean, I remember reading an article where a lady built a house via YouTube. So I'm sure if you can build a house by YouTube, you can probably do this stuff by YouTube. So the short answer is, you know, Google and YouTube will probably be incredible resources for you. That being said, though, that takes a lot of hunting and pecking and watching things that you don't know if it's the right thing or if it's repetitive. You know, did one person say it and then the next person saying it just slightly different? So that takes a lot of time. I'm actually putting together a series of you know, basically self-paced screen recordings of how to do things. Online. I haven't finished them up yet. But if you want to send me your email, or, you know, just send me out an email, and that way I can, you know, keep you up to date on that. But that's something that I'm putting together because I know that that's one of those areas that people don't want to hear all the other stuff. They want to get to the basics of how do I get this ball rolling? Because once you get the ball rolling and you get